Thank you. If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel according to Matthew. We are now in the 18th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew, and we will begin in the beginning, verse 1. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. Whoever causes one of these little ones to believe in me, who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet be cast into the everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we would that you would take your word, that you would penetrate our hearts. Father, each one here has a special need. Each one here has a special, Father, a special need to move toward you. And Father, I pray that that would be accomplished in this hour. Touch us, Father, by your Spirit. Move us by your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's hard to imagine what the disciples have been going through. If you've been with us, you kind of know. They went up the mountain. There was a transfiguration there. There in front of Jesus, there was Moses and there was Elijah. But the Heavenly Father made it clear, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Wow, what a moment. Could you ever get over such a happening? In the presence of Jesus himself, all the glory of God pouring through him, shining through him. What a day. They come down and they come down into the real world and there's difficulties they face there. There is a man that needs to have his child healed, and Jesus takes care of that. The disciples weren't able to do it. Jesus tells them about the cross. There is going to be a time when he would be betrayed by a man. He would be taken and he would be nailed to a cruel cross. He would have to do that. His blood would have to be shared for you or I to have a hope of salvation. Now, it's in the Bible that they got sad when they heard these things, but the sadness didn't cover them for very long. What we find following, you get a better picture in Mark 9:33, but what we have here is the disciples begin disputing among themselves. They had seen Jesus in his glory. They had seen Jesus is going to have a kingdom. They had thought about that, and they forgot about the cross. They had forgot about Jesus' challenge to them. And what they remembered was, there's going to be a kingdom, and you know what? I bet I'm going to be the key guy in the kingdom.
And they began to think about who's going to be greatest. And you can kind of think about how this might have gone out. Peter would have said, well, I'm the one that asked about putting up tents for Moses and Elijah. Certainly, I would be best in the kingdom. And John would say, no, you're too much of a loudmouth. You can't be best in the kingdom. I'm the one that loves Jesus more than anybody else. I should be best in the kingdom. And James just said, no, both of you are wrong. I'm the one, because I let you guys fight this out, but Jesus will choose me. I was standing closest to him anyway. And there was an argument that takes place, and they're trying to go through who's going to be greatest in the kingdom. And as they are thinking about this, Jesus says, what are you guys talking about? And they go quiet. They're embarrassed. They realize that maybe they shouldn't have been talking about what they were talking about. You see, in the midst of Jesus having to tell them that he is going to die for them, that he was going to suffer terribly, that he was going to give himself and his blood for their salvation, and by the way, for yours and mine, they were concerned about themselves. They had a "it's all about me" attitude. You ever have that in your life? It's all about me. Some tragedy happens and you don't think, oh, well, those poor people, you think, how's that going to affect me? You know, we are so self-centered sometimes that we view the entire world as it revolves around us. And we wonder about what people think of us, when the truth is they're not thinking about you at all. Jesus asked, what were you guys talking about on the road? Well, they're quiet for a while, and then one of them speaks up, and they just talk about who's going to be greatest. Let's get this out. Let Jesus tell you that I'm going to be greatest. And Jesus takes that moment. He looks over, and there's a small child. He takes that child, and he puts the child in the midst of them. I have an image of Jesus just putting the child on his knee. You know, children seem to flock to Jesus. I believe children flock to Jesus because children were welcomed by him. And he was an uplifting individual. He had a smile more on his face than a frown, and he received children in. One time the disciples were going to turn children away. We don't want you getting close to Jesus. You're going to bother him. And Jesus let it be known, bring the little children to me. You see, children don't bother Jesus. Can I tell you something? Children don't bother us at Northside Baptist Church. We want children. We want to draw them in. We want to take care of them, because that's what Jesus would have us do. We want them to come to know Jesus. And in fact, we need to reach children as young as possible. We need to get them to the Lord. We need to raise them in the Lord. We need to give them every opportunity. That's why our Awanas are so important. That's why Sunday school is so important. Of course, it's important for all age groups. But getting us closer to Jesus, giving us opportunity to reach children at young ages, and getting them to follow him. Jesus said, let the children come to me. Bring them to me. Listen, don't ever question in your mind about Jesus' love for children. Jesus loves all the children of the world. So with a child on his knee, he talks about God's little ones. Now, there's a sense he's talking about children, but actually he's talking about young believers. He's talking about people that come in to God's family. Little ones that believe in me. Listen, if you are one of God's little ones, if you have come to know Jesus as your Savior, you are one of his little ones. You are one of the saved. He's speaking to individuals that have entered the the family of God. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become children of God, even to those that believe on his name. When you get to Jesus, you develop a new family. You're coming into God's family. Now, the disciples had the wrong attitude. They were puffed up in their own egos. They were thinking it's all about me and how I am going to be lifted up. They're talking about their own possibilities. And Jesus hits them where it hurts. He hits them in their attitudes. They were lifting themselves up. But you know what? When you come to Jesus, it doesn't come by saying, Jesus, I'm so great, you got to take me. No, it comes by a realization that I am nothing at all. I am just a lowly sinner, and I need a Savior, and we come to Jesus on the same ground, humbling ourselves. As this child was a humble being, we should humble ourselves before God. If you want to come to know Jesus, you come to him admitting that you're a sinner. You do know that, don't you? If you don't, there's somebody around that'll tell you. You know, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, all of us are sinners, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is only one who is not a sinner, and that is Jesus. If you think you don't need a Savior, then my friend, you probably won't ever have one. We are born into the family of God being totally dependent on him. Well, you know, that's how it works when we are born into this world, isn't it? When you were born, you were totally dependent. You needed somebody else to take care of you. You needed somebody else to feed you. You needed somebody else to clean you. And if you were going to move, you needed somebody else to move you. A lot of guys have trouble kicking in to the joy of parenthood until children start moving around. You know, when they just lay there and cry, it's hard for guys to really get on board. But when they start moving, hey, I can do something with this, you know. But for a while, you do absolutely nothing but cause a problem for somebody else. When we come to know Jesus as our Savior, I want you to know we are totally dependent. We don't deserve to be saved. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve for Jesus to have died on a cross for us. We don't deserve for God to care about us. We don't deserve for God to get his word to us. We're totally dependent on him stepping in to our lives. We come to Jesus realizing that we are sinners and realizing we can do nothing in ourselves to change that. You can't be good enough to get to God. You can't be. No one can be. One sin takes you out of the realm of being possible to get to God. And I hate to tell you, the clicker is going and it is far past one sin. We come to Jesus realizing that we are sinners, we can do nothing in ourselves, we need a Savior, and we must bow before Jesus and ask him to save our souls. We have a new fellowship. Whosoever receives one of these little ones in my name receives me. There's a fellowship of other believers. We're part of a family. Now, as a local church, we're part of Northside Baptist family. And we should welcome people in. And we should want to see new people come. And we should be excited when new people come in. The only prerequisite, by the way, for becoming part of God's church is to have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Those who know Jesus should welcome others who come to Jesus. And we get excited when people come into the family. All who are members of our church, listen, We have all been saved by the blood of Jesus because we're all sinners. We have all been forgiven because we all needed it and still do. We have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and we share the bond that we have followed Him in the obedience of being baptized. We're not baptized to get saved. Oh, no. We're baptized to just show we're obedient to Him. We're depending on Him. Every new believer should receive the same type of welcome that we would give to Jesus were He to walk in. You know, the truth is we should welcome everybody, shouldn't we? Because you never know when you welcome someone if that welcome might be the one thing that encourages them to listen when we talk about Jesus. I guarantee you this, if you don't welcome people, they won't listen, and they won't come to that point of salvation in that moment. So it's very, very important. Jesus is here, and He promised He would be here. You do know that, don't you? Jesus is here. Where two or three are gathered in My name, there I will be in the midst of them. He said that, so Jesus is here. And you know, we think about the disciples. You know, they shut up when they realized Jesus heard what they were saying or knew what they were thinking. How many times would you shut up if you just thought about the fact that Jesus is right there listening? That probably applies to folks in church that like to talk. The reality is, Jesus is always there. He's always listening, and we should always behave accordingly. Every born-again child of God should want to receive every other child of God. Please understand, we are at that point of nominating individuals for deacons, and some people get the idea the deacons are the big shots in the church. I want you to know that is not true. It was never meant to be true. Deacons are servants. They are to serve the body of Christ. That's what they're to do. That's what every believer is supposed to do. A deacon just is supposed to show that example. And so a deacon is someone who's willing to humble themselves in order to make sure others are served and that Jesus is lifted up. There are no big members in our church. We don't have big members and little members, and I'm not talking about weight. We may have something a little bigger than others in that capacity, but in the spiritual world, we're all just sinners saved by grace. You know, you think about what happens when a baby comes into the world. In fact, before a baby comes into the world, the family has a party. Then in today's world, when they know what that child is going to be, they have a gender reveal. And they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff to put out blue or pink, so people can tell what a child is and all those kinds of things. The baby gets here and everybody's excited, want to know if the mom's okay. Nobody ever asks if the dad's okay. They want to know if the mom's okay. They want to know how big was the baby. It's the one time you can talk about the person's weight and it's all right. And so they want to know how much the baby's weighs. Some people want to know how long was the baby, how tall was the baby. I don't know, he didn't stand up. But they want to know all those kinds of things. Had somebody ask me once what the APGAR score was. I didn't know. I had to find out. But all those things because of the excitement of that child. In the kingdom of God, how excited should we be when one turns their back on a sinful life and turns to Jesus? So the child is the saved, and then God's children are the separated. God's little ones belong to the Lord, and they are separated. We are separated to be more like Jesus. But sometimes, according to verse 6 and 7, that separation, that separated life can be hindered. There are those that can get in the way of people growing in the Lord. There are those that can get in the way of people becoming what God wants them to be. Jesus says, "Be you holy, for I am holy." God expects us to be holy. Holy means separated unto God. We should live the type of life he wants us to live. We're to grow up to be like Jesus. And by the way, we never get fully grown because we never get fully like Jesus in this life. So every day we should be more like Jesus. Every day we should seek to be more like Jesus. And every day when we're not, we should ask God to forgive us when we step in the wrong way. But if you cause others to sin by how you live, if you cause damage to a young one to take them off course, if by your actions you lead a new believer astray, my friend, you're in danger. God loves his children and God takes care of his children, and God doesn't like it when you mess with his children. And so here we have Jesus letting it be known that while it is bad to sin, it is worse to lead someone else into sin. You got to be very careful how you operate in your life around other believers, because you don't want something you do in your life to cause them to do something that God would not have them do. Listen, are people becoming more like Jesus living around you, or are they becoming less like Jesus living around you? It's not a good thing to lead people away from God's purpose. Listen, I stand before you knowing full well that I am not perfect, and there are many things in my life that should not have ever been, and I wish they had never been. But it pains me to think that something I might do that's out of step would lead somebody else to move out of step with Jesus. I don't want that to happen. And it grieves me when I sin against the Lord, and I know I've sinned against the Lord. I have to go to the Lord and ask him to forgive me. But, you know, we need to clean the act up real quick, because we don't want to affect someone else. We don't want to pull someone else away from Jesus. You know, somebody gets on a tear and they're going to put their power in the church, and they're going to put their name up and their will up in the church, and they don't care what else is going on, so they get their little crew to follow them. If you're ever trying to get a crew to follow you, you're already off base. We should be humbling ourselves and trying to get people to follow him in every way. Listen, you know, in a family that if you use the wrong kind of language, then your family's likely to use the wrong kind of language. If you drink the wrong kind of substances, they're bound to drink the wrong kind of substances. If you smoke, they're bound to smoke. Or if you vape, they will vape. You set a pattern. And spiritually, you set patterns for other believers how you live. It is serious when a church member leads another church member into sin. Verse 7 says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses." Woe to the world because of the offenses that have come by the actions of the world. You do know we're in a world that's moving away from God. We're in a world that's moving away from Jesus. That's not good for the world. This woe is pretty serious stuff. This world is pushing a sinful pattern. Listen, when the world pushes things that are totally against God's word, when the world would have you kill the unborn child, when the world would have you change your gender as if God made a mistake, when the world would have you just think of alternative lifestyles when someone goes into sexual immorality, let me tell you, there is a danger of that type of activity, and the consequences come. This is evidence that Jesus is filled with sorrow over the world of people lost in sin. I truly believe he is. Woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Jesus said it would be better for that offending person if you took a millstone and hung it about them, their neck, take them to the deepest part of the sea and drop them over. A millstone. A millstone was a large stone, had a hole in the middle, and it would take an oxen or a mule to be able to move that stone around on another hard surface to grind wheat. I dare say you put one of those things, you'd have to have help to move one of those things, but if you got one around your neck, that would be pretty bad. But if you had one around your neck and you were dumped off into water, you're going down. And while this is talking about people that affects people spiritually, let me pause for just a moment and say, when people abuse children in this world, they are stepping against God's desired order, and they are bringing a judgment onto themselves. And so I say to you very openly, don't let children be abused. If you see children being abused in any way, shape, or form, speak up. Don't let it happen. Who's going to protect the child if we do not? And we're in a day where children need protection. And we are definitely in a day when believers need spiritual protection, at least the spiritual protection of other believers standing with them. Verse 8 and 9 tells us how the separated life is benefited. It speaks of a personal responsibility. You need to deal with the sin in your own life. You need to get it out of your life. Now, if you were with us when we studied chapter 5, then you will find this familiar. If your hand or foot offend you, cut them off. If your eye offends you, pluck it out. He's not saying chop off your body parts. He's not saying pluck out your eyes. He's saying if you're involved in a sinful practice, get rid of it. Your hand, that's what you do. If you're doing something that God would not agree with, stop it. Get rid of it. Your foot, that's where you go. If you're going where God would not have you go, where God would not have you be, where it's not a good testimony for you to be there, stop going there. If your eye offends you, if you're looking at things that God would not have you look at, stop it. Stop the sin in your life so that you might have the blessings of being what God desires. And so you can be an instrument of leading others to Jesus. You know, people say, well, you know, it's just a habit, and I just hate to give it up. You know, that's like saying the doctor says I have cancer, it's going to kill me, and he wants to cut it out, and it's just a little cancer, I hate to give it up. How foolish. How foolish that we would hold on to that which pulls us away from God's purpose. Little children are saved. Little children are the separated, and little children are the special ones. Verse 10, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. Don't consider a child of God unworthy. Yeah. You know, anybody that comes to the Lord, we rejoice in. We are thankful for every single person. It doesn't matter where they come from. It doesn't matter what they have. It doesn't matter how they dress. We just want them to come to Jesus. Don't look down on God's children. They're special. And then he talks about angels. Everybody gets tied up on this part. They like the angel part. He talks about their angels, and it appears that he's talking about an angel that is watching over you, but an angel that is focusing on God. And what I have to say about that is, if you need an angel, God can give you an angel. But you need Jesus more than you need anything. And Jesus is far greater than any angel.
Hebrews 1:14 says there are ministering spirits. I do believe God allows his angels to minister to us. I believe God's angels protect us. You know, those near misses you have that you can't explain in life, where somehow you survive and you know you should not have, God's ministering spirits, I believe, take us through. And that's just God taking care of us. Jesus is interested in us. He's interested in you. He's interested in what's happening in your life. He's interested in how you're living. He's interested in how you're dealing with others. He's interested in what you do at work. He's interested in what you do at school. At school, we're back in school. You guys are so excited. Back in school, you know you owe it to God to make the very best grades you can make, to learn the very best you can, because you're serving God in that. It's not about you and a teacher, it's about you and God. But the same thing's true where you work. It's not about you and a boss, it's about you and God. And the same thing's true in your home. It's not about you and your mate, it's about you and God. And as we follow the Lord, God sends blessings and God cares for us. He is interested in us. God's little ones are sealed by the Father God. He seals us into God's family. Now, eternally, every child of God is saved. There will never be a time when you are unsaved once you are truly saved, because it is Jesus that saves you. It is Jesus that keeps you saved. But that doesn't mean that every child of God walks with God all the time. And if you have stepped away from God, if you stepped outside of how God would have you live, it's time to ask him to forgive you and get back in the center of his will. And I challenge you to do that today. But if you've never met Jesus, you're not one of his little ones, but you can be. Today, would you consider inviting Jesus to forgive your sins and to save your soul? Today, would you consider entering God's family by letting Jesus be your Lord and Savior? If you will put your belief in him, as many as believed in him, to them he gave the power to become the children of God, even to those that believe in his name. You come to him now. You accept him now. He will save you now. And maybe today you just say, well, I really want to make sure that I'm saved. Well, just walk forward and say, I want Jesus. We will pray together. Your faith in Jesus will save you. And you will be one of his precious little ones. And he will care for you from this day forward. Let's stand together for prayer. Father, I ask that you would move in our hearts. Their decisions that we need to make. Father, if as believers, if we have not followed you, if we've stepped away from you, if there's sin that has cropped up in our lives, Father, I pray that it would be dealt with now, that we would be willing to ask you to forgive us, Father, to ask you to lead us away from whatever thing, whatever person, whatever relationship, whatever thing is not in your will, that we might follow you. And Father, I pray for those that do not know Jesus, that today would be the day, this would be the moment that they would just come and say, I want Jesus. Move in our hearts, Father. Draw us to Christ. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, would you come?